Hey everybody, Stephen here from The Truth About Dyslexia. In today's episode, I'm going to be answering a listener's email in about some challenges she's dealing with. I'm going to give her a bit of a made-up name, close but not quite there, but I'm going to call her Rebecca. She's from the United Kingdom, and we're going to talk about her challenges. So I'll read through the email. It's a common one around communication and challenges, especially when fighting or digging holes. You know, we've all probably been there. And I think I might be able to share a few ideas of things you could try to make life a little bit easier. Hope this is valuable for the rest of you. So let's dig in. Okay, let's start by me reading this email out. I may jump through a few bits of it just to speed through. But hi there, I'm a female from the UK at 42, diagnosed with SPLDs, which didn't quite equate to full dyslexia. But I have a lot of symptoms you talk about. I have a number of challenges which have taken some time to realize, not just feeling stupid, forgetful, or unable to manage a situation. One of the main challenges is communicating within an argument or stressful situation. You know, very common, right? And this is particular with my partner. You know, do you know any coping mechanisms, treatments, therapies that could help? I always seem to say the wrong thing at the wrong time. It's as if I don't think, although I must, right? Then to make things worse, I get defensive, I don't understand how we got to a heightened situation all of a sudden, and then clam up for two reasons. Either my mind goes blank and I cannot think of anything, I sit there in silence trying to think and process what's just happened, but my mind is completely empty. This often escalates as silence is no resolution, and overthinking all the details just normally ends up digging a bigger hole. I will accept when I'm wrong and apologize, but I also take it to heart, especially if I didn't intend it, which is very common, right? Or even foresee the situation. I get wrapped up emotionally into the situation and can't find my way out of this web. It then spirals from a small disagreement into something much more stressful. My partner has a hyperactive brain, and it feels like he's at 3 times the speed of me, so he's very good at conveying his points in the moment, and this leaves me feeling completely inadequate, defeated, and with no vision of getting myself out of the mess I've created. My partner does suffer from anxiety and OCD, so he also has his challenges, which is sometimes complexity to the situation. However, he needs to manage that, and I am as accommodating as I can be. But I have to also deal with my own brain, although he is much less accommodating for dyslexia versus OCD, anxiety, and depression, which I understand as it is my experience less debilitating. Can you share any resources or thoughts? Okay, so let's dive into this one. It's very common, communication issues with those with dyslexia, ADHD, and a variety of fun challenges. You know, your brain doesn't always do what it should do, right? Neurodiversity, you know, we all have the same, imagine this, we all have the exact same brains. It's just that the energy was pumped into different parts of it for each of us, right? And so with dyslexia, we have different energy in different places and we lack it in other points. Now, I can really relate to this. My ex-partner had a very similar process, although she wasn't diagnosed with anything at that point. She would very easily clam up in a situation. I'm actually a really fast talker when I want to be in arguments. Who would have thought if I do a podcast, right? So I'm dyslexic as well. And so I think, you know, one thing I'd like to state is that, you know, the going silent or putting up a wall, you know, it can be the dyslexic person or the non-dyslexic person. I don't think that's a dyslexic trait. But I think it's called stonewalling is the other name. And it's not even, you know, stonewalling is not always, very rarely it's an intentional thing. It's just something that we do to kind of protect ourselves, right? It's natural. When we feel overwhelmed, when we feel like there's information not being processed, we put up a wall. And it's very common. And with, you know, and it's interesting, men are probably the ones that naturally overtalk things. Not always, but they can be the ones that kind of feel like they've got it all together, but they just keep going in some of these situations. Or that's my experience being male, and that was my kind of role. Now, what have I learned from this? What could you do? So there's a couple of things. The first thing is, if you start to notice yourself going down this path, it's to have some clear moments where you say, hey, I hear you. So you want to acknowledge the person. So if you know this is, you know, we can always see when this is going down a pathway, and we sometimes want to just get into it, even though we don't. We just kind of get too deep into it. But if we can notice that something's going down a pathway, we can say, hey, I appreciate what you're saying here, but I need time to process this so we can get to a good outcome. I'm not enjoying it at the moment. It's not working for me. Can we speak about this again tomorrow or in a couple of hours? So putting some space in there is huge. What you don't want to do is just, you know, stonewall, stop talking, and nothing gets resolved. But what you do need to do is let your emotional energy drain. Because, you know, with all those emotions running around, you can't see the pictures in your head. You can't form a good argument. You're just going to become reactive. Like, you know, let's be honest, we're like animals in the corner. You know, if you really do push us in the corner, we will fight back to protect ourselves. So what you want to do is acknowledge your partner or whoever you're communicating with and say, hey, I get where you're coming from. You know, I don't want to fight about this now. Can we put a pin in this and come back to it either tomorrow morning or the next day? You know, hey, I've had these fights with my wife before. And again, if I'm in the driver's seat, I'll say, hey, can we come back to it tomorrow morning? Give some time between you and the emotional energy. It will make a massively beneficial impact. I'll guarantee it. That alone is a game changer. The other one that I've really found interesting lately, and you may have seen some podcasts on it, is around acupressure. And I'm doing a lot of work around energy medicine myself to learn, because, you know, one thing I think many of us with dyslexia note is that we are very emotional, and emotion comes from energy. There's a lot of energy swirling around, emotion swirling around, however we want to frame it. And trying to get some handle on that when it's in full spin is tough. And there isn't really a logical play to get out of it. You know, we can use our words and say, hey, let's slow this down, give it a couple of hours, imagine everything settles and we keep going. So that's one way. But the other way is, can we use energy medicine or similar stuff to help us through these processes? And what really connected me with your story when I've been doing a course from Donna Eden, and I'll pop a link in the podcast. And she, as part of the course I'm doing, she actually gives away a 2-hour video on relationships and energy relationships. And the most hilarious thing is, she sounds very like yourself, where she had a partner who was very logical and had a certain type of energy in a relationship and could just completely own the conversation in a fight. And so he would always technically win the battle, yet what he was doing was he was actually destroying the relationship and kind of ending the war. You know, do you know what I mean? Like, he may have won the battle, but, you know, if your partner leaves you, then it doesn't work, right? So she talks about a few energy kind of routines she does. And there was this thing called the Wayne Cook posture. And basically, it sounds much more interesting than it is, but it's a way of crossing over your energy. So her concept basically is, you know, the body has a bunch of energetic systems. In Chinese medicine, they talk about the 14 meridians. Without going into too much detail, one of the core challenges when we get out of alignment or we can't think, we're just very emotional, we're kind of all messed up and mixed up, is that our energies are not crossing over correctly. Now, again, I'm not going to go into the detail, the backstory of why this works. All I know is I've tested this in a few places and it's been very effective for me. And so this Wayne Cook posture is basically crossing a leg over your other leg and holding your foot in a certain way. I'm sure I can probably find a video on it. I'll see if I can find it. And what she would do is when he got to this point of basically winning battles like this, and she couldn't find her words or couldn't find her thoughts properly, she would sit there in this position, take a few clear deep breaths, clear her head, clear her energy, and then she would be able to actually respond properly in a clearer way. So that was something she used. And like, I'm just going to share what I've tested and worked for me in different systems. So this could be a way of doing it. Is usually with the dyslexic mind, our energy just goes all over the place. So this could be very valuable. So I'll pop something in the show notes about that as well. The other thing to note as well, you know, is to have a deeper conversation with your partner and really explain some of this. You mentioned he's not as accommodating. You know, you need to have these deeper, open, I guess they're vulnerable chats. And you can, and what I would say as well is, you know, you have to be on the same page, you know, when it comes to this stuff, is that if you're both suffering from challenges, you know, anxiety, you know, what you've mentioned here is anxiety, you know, in that email. You're creating anxiety for yourself in these situations, so you're actually dealing with anxiety. You know, dyslexia, you know, anxiety in itself comes from somewhere, right? It's not like a magical thing. I personally don't believe people have anxiety on its own and nothing else. There is a reason for anxiety. You know, anxiety is a challenge of the future, of seeing too much in your head, overthinking. It's usually an ADHD kind of thing / dyslexic thing. It's all, everything's crossed over. But it's in my opinion, it's more of an output than it is a core challenge. Does that make sense? And so you're dealing with anxiety as well. And I know personally, until about the age of 31, I didn't ever think I had anxiety. Ever, ever, ever. I just didn't even know what anxiety really meant. It's a trigger word in itself. It doesn't actually have a physical representation. So many of us don't even really connect that we're going through anxiety. We don't even have a label to label that feeling anxiety. And, you know, that can be a massive challenge if you don't label it that. And if your partner doesn't realize you're also dealing with it, and you can connect over it, to be blatantly honest, if you're both having challenges. And so what I would say personally is trying to have those challenges, say, hey, our fights aren't working. Here's what's happening. We get so deep into this battle that, you know, I feel like I can't keep up. I feel like I'm not being heard. I feel like you think you win because you can talk through these challenges better in the moment. And I feel like it's continually becoming an unfair fight. And can you see how that's not valuable for both of our relationships? You know, for the way our relationship's going to go in the future. You know, we need to find a way through this. And to be honest, what you're actually saying in your email as well is having someone as a counselor, as a relationship counselor, doesn't have to be just a neurodiverse counselor, although more and more are existing in the world, is someone who does have some understanding of ADHD, dyslexia, anxiety, is just having a third person to talk to where you can start to lay some groundwork. You know, I can honestly tell you that, you know, some of the best times I've seen is when a counselor is sitting between a couple of people in a relationship, because it allows both of you to be heard equally. So if you feel that your partner is 80% of the battle and you're 20%, if you're in a counselor's room, then you're going to get a much more 50-50 split. And I've got a friend who's been going through it for 6 to 8 months, thought his relationship was over, and it's brought them back massively. So I really can't discredit having that third person to, you know, in these conversations. So if you haven't already trialed it, what I'd recommend is see if you can find someone, book in 3 sessions, say, let's go to it. Let's see if we can get this to work better for both of you. Because if you can get your communication working, it's going to lower your anxiety and it's going to improve everything. I'll guarantee you that. So that's really clear. The last thing I was going to mention was with the dyslexic mind, we do think in pictures. And again, we think in emotions. You know, we really do think in emotions. And it sounds weird, but we're very emotional, very feeling intrinsic people. And so if you are starting, a thing I use to stop fights even starting is going, what's your picture? What are you seeing? Tell me more. Now, we do this with a 6.5-year-old running around. Well, 6 3/4-year-old, as I'm reminded. And, you know, it's the same with us as adults.
You know, if our picture isn't clear, we can sometimes have fights that start from nothing and just escalate, or I used to, should I say, have those issues where we'd be fighting about the same thing, but just going in round in circles. And so what I would really recommend is with your partner, if it is something that starts off quite small, you say, what's your picture? Can you explain it clearer what you're thinking? And start asking him questions about his picture. Why do you think that way? Get him to be clearer with you. Become the bigger person. I know this is so hard in the moment, but why? You know, get him to describe things better. Because sometimes you might go, actually, he's talking about something completely different. Or we're both actually on different pages of the same book. And so some of those, yeah, as I say, that's just a random group of thoughts and ideas for anyone going through communication problems. I will, guys, put a video or a link to some of Donna Eden's work that I'm really enjoying at the moment. Might be helpful. The Wayne Cook Postures one. And as I say, she does a lot on relationships. I think she's brilliant personally at the moment. She's my, we'll have a guru of our time. You know, she's my one at the moment. So hopefully that helps, Rebecca, and hope you keep listening to the podcast. Thank you for sending in your challenge. Talk soon.